Our scripture reading this morning comes out of the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Beloved, as we continue this sermon series that I've titled "The Ghosts of Christmas Is Past," based on Charles Dickens' novel, A Christmas Carol, we find old Ebenezer Scrooge confronted by three ghosts that will show him his past, his present, and his future, in the hopes of turning him from his miserly old ways and helping him catch the true meaning of the Christmas spirit. Now, beloved, during such a season, each of us, if we're not careful, can be susceptible as Scrooge was. And we can become Scrooge-like. And we may need a ghost or two to help turn our bah humbug into a Merry Christmas. Last week, I spoke to you and we learned about the ghost of Christmas past, who took Scrooge back to his early childhood days. He saw himself when he was a child in school. He saw himself as a young man when he was an apprentice, learning his trade. We learned how he lost his love of his life, her name was Belle, because he loved his money more than he loved her. We learned that Scrooge was never able to move past who he was to become who he could be. Hear that again, beloved. Scrooge was never able to move beyond his past to become who he could be. And we could do that too, beloved, if we're just always stuck looking in the rearview mirror, wondering what could have been or what was. I remember one time when Elizabeth and I were living in Northern California. We didn't have children yet, it was just her and I. And we were making a decision to move. And I remember one person sat down with me, and he was actually one of my bosses at the company I had worked for, a real estate company. And he was a Christian man, belonged to the church we all went together to. And he sat down and he said to me, he goes, "Only go if you can go without looking back." He said, "If you're constantly looking back, then you're not ready to move forward." And that was good advice, because we need to see the hope and the possibilities in the future. And if we're just stuck looking behind us, then we'll never be able to move forward fully. After the ghost of Christmas past leaves, Scrooge is visited by his next guest, the next ghost, the ghost of Christmas present. Contrary to the mysterious appearance of the first ghost, this one cannot be missed. Dickens describes him as a majestic giant in a green fur robe. The ghost shows Scrooge how Christmas will unfold that year. First, they stop by the house of Bob Cratchit, Scrooge's long-suffering employee. Scrooge sees their small, beyond modest home and their meager little feast they had on the table that week, and witnesses the innocence and the joy of his crippled son, Tiny Tim. Their next stop is to the home of his relative, Fred. Scrooge was given an invitation by Fred earlier in that week, if you remember the story. And he chose not to go and turned it down, because it was just a waste of his time, he thought. And as Scrooge is there with this ghost, he's seeing the party that's going on that he was invited to go to. And as he's there, he's actually enjoying what he's seeing and hearing take place before him. And then soon enough, the ghost says it's time to go. They're to move on. And Scrooge, recognizing for the first time he's actually enjoying something other than his work and getting to the bottom line, he asks the ghost, "Can we stay until the party is complete?" One of the most incriminating lines, if you see the movie adaptation of 1984 version of Scrooge, this line, it's been put in by the ghost of Christmas Present. And this is what the ghost says to Scrooge: "You have gone through life not noticing a lot." I mean, that's a prick to this man. Now, beloved, I don't know about you. I can say I've been guilty of this myself. We think just because we are in proximity of friends, family, loved ones, that we are actually present in the situation. I'm sure my wife can say, "I've been there a lot." Necessarily haven't been present in the moment, though. Sometimes we are absent, beloved, yet we're present. We're there, but we're not involved. You get what I'm saying? I think we all can become guilty of this at least once in our life. And this is what the ghost was saying to Scrooge: "You went through life not noticing a lot. Yes, you've been present, but you haven't been involved." I think one of the biggest challenges to being faithful today is not necessarily even the persistence of evil in culture or secularism. It is the constant presence of distraction coming our way. We are distracted by a culture. Our attention is dissected into 100 different ways, if not more. Unable to prioritize what is important because we're told everything is important. And if everything's important, then really nothing is. So the coming of the Christ child becomes just one of many things, you could say, on a holiday buffet of events this month. The question is, will we do our best to give it our full attention? Beloved, we need to be careful here that we just don't make Jesus just a side dish, so to speak, on the table. He needs to be the main course, up front and center and present. He needs to have our complete focus and attention. Are we going to make him that during this season? We just don't want to fit him in amongst the other things, because he is the primary reason why we celebrate this holiday. It's not all this stuff. It is him that we come to celebrate and rejoice for what God has done to bring Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let's not just squeeze Jesus in. and make room for him. Let's make him the main focus. Beloved, I am sure, thank you, Rachel. I'm very glad that the shepherds didn't feel this way. Luke tells us they were living in the fields. So obviously, you know, thank goodness they didn't have shopping malls and Black Friday sales and other things to get their attention off of the heavenly hosts that would come. Well, I missed my... Well, I don't know where it went. I guess it didn't make this video. Oh, well. Well, okay. I'll quit playing with this. I'll go back to here. I had an image of the angelic host speaking to the shepherds. Imagine these shepherds, beloved. They're out in these fields day after day, week after week, up in the mountains. It's cold. It's dark many days out of the months up there in these mountain regions of the Middle East. If you've been a hunter and you've been in the woods and you're probably a farmer, many of you, for many people who live in the city don't recognize the fact of how busy nature can be. And I think these shepherds were primed and ready. They could, because they were out there in a peaceful situation, and their ears were ready. And when the angels proclaimed, they're there and ready to hear at a moment's notice. I witnessed this when I go hunting. Because once you get into the woods, it doesn't seem like there's anything going on. But once you're able to calm your spirit, sit amongst the nature, you start to hear the symphony of the woods come alive. As your heartbeat goes down, you hear the sound of nature all around. And I kind of wonder if that's what it was like for the shepherds. They're there tending their flocks. They're at peace with what's going on. And then all of a sudden, a great host of heavenly angels comes out and makes this proclamation. Do not be afraid, for I see I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. To you is born this day. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but this day. And the shepherds were able to respond immediately to the good news. I wonder if we would have the same ability to respond with the same urgency as they did. Or if that same response was to come tonight, for instance, and the sky split open and that proclamation of the angels was there and Gabriel standing before you today in the city of David, in the city of LaGrange, a Savior has been born. And this is the place where he will be. What would your response be? Well, at 9 a.m. today, I have to have a meeting and coffee with an individual. I have Christmas shopping to do at noon. Maybe next Wednesday at 3 p.m., if God can wait, can his child be born then? Do I even have to see him right now? Beloved, we have to be careful not to allow the distractions of this season to keep us from being present in the very moment of the miracles that surround us each and every day. How often do we go through Advent, beloved, not noticing a lot and truly misplacing our importance on Christ Jesus? Being present in the moment for Scrooge, to him, was a waste of time. His focus was either on his past and what he didn't get done, or on the future, on what needed to be done. His head was always in his ledger. His eyes were always on the bottom line. His employee Cratchit was just simply a cog in the machinery to make him more money. And the ghost showed him that Scrooge had missed the overflow of life that was all around him. The whispers of angels had gotten drowned out by his own greed. Excuse me. So I ask you, beloved, what gets drowned out in our lives for us? What do we miss in this season because of distraction? In Dickens' classic, before the ghost of Christmas present departs, he pulls back his robe to show something to Scrooge. And I always wondered what this image was. I remember as a child, it always kind of scared me. It wasn't until I was older that I understood he actually names these two things. He pulls back his robe, and there's these two sickly-looking, starving children under his robe. And he gave them names of ignorance and want. That he was basically telling old Scrooge that he's been ignorant and been blind to many of the things that have been around him, and all he ever wanted was more and more and more. And that's what these two children symbolize, ignorance and want. Beloved, one of the many blessings of Christmas is that giving spirit that spurs people to be more generous with their time and their money. From this season, from Thanksgiving all the way and throughout the Christmas season of Advent, I think this is why it's so important as a church we continue to do the events that we do, such as the Thanksgiving meal, where we fed over 250 meals to people who are in need or not able to prepare something for themselves, or people who just needed a friendly opportunity just to reach out and make a connection with somebody else. Or the Christmas stockings that were just put together this week and we took out to different shut-ins. Or we helped that young man who came and spoke about Operation Christmas Child, and we helped support him in that ministry. These are the things that can help bless us as we bless others who are less fortunate, to help them experience the joy of the season. We need to continue, beloved, to do these things. But there's also even a deeper need here, beloved, that we often miss as well. When the angels come to the shepherds to announce about Jesus Christ's birth, the angels don't send them to a palace, don't send them to a castle or the halls of power. Instead, the angel directs them to a stable, the home for animals, no doubt a dirty, smelly, and very unsanitary place. And it is there, in the most unlikely of places, that they find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. The shepherds find this gift in the most miserable of places. Let me ask you this, beloved. If Jesus was to be born today in our world, in our time frame, where do you think God the Father would have him to be born? Have you ever thought about that? And then the next question is, then what would possibly keep us from going there? Distraction, busyness, fear that you don't know who these people are, affluence. There was a theologian named Frederick Buchner, and he wrote this quote, and he says this: God comes to us in the hungry people that we don't necessarily have to feed. God comes to us in the lonely people that we don't necessarily have to comfort. He comes to us in all the desperate human need of all people everywhere that we're always free to turn our backs upon. God doesn't force us, beloved, to minister to people. Although, if we claim ourselves to be Christians and followers of Christ, out of our love for Him, the overflow of that love will spur us to do these things. Old Scrooge, beloved, was an expert at turning a blind eye and his back on the needs around him. He went through life not noticing a lot. He probably thought that each need he saw represented a risk of his bottom line, of his hard-earned money. Again, he saw Bob Cratchit as a charity case. He saw his nephew Fred as a mere complete waste of his time and an interruption to him. But here's the beauty of the Christmas story and the subversive way God works in our lives. We think God calls us to the muck and the mire of the stables of today's world because we have the power and the influence and the resources to bring about the presence of God to those quote-unquote poor souls. But what if we are not called there not to bring God's presence, but to find it, God's presence, as did the shepherds? The shepherds didn't go there to bring anything. They went there to find something. And beloved, if God is calling us to that place, we're going there to find something, to experience something in a new, in a different way. We're going to go there to experience the presence of God, to see the love that He brought out of heaven to mankind. Where would Christ be born if He was to be born in our world today? Have you ever thought of this? Again, I posed this question a moment ago. What if Christ was to be born this year in a homeless shelter, in a halfway house, under a bridge? Will we have the courage to go there as the shepherds would have went, without question, to experience this thing they heard proclaimed in the heavens? Or will we be full of fear, saying, I don't know if I can go to that place. Those people were different than me. I don't understand them. They look different than me. Or we allow our power and our influence and our resources to work for those in whom are marginalized, those who are threatened, those who are scared of not having a possible future? Or will we be distracted by these other things? Beloved, I'd like to submit to you that we, most of us, are seeking a world where it will be a world of peace, are we not? Many of us pray for that. But peace is the thing we are most least likely to find if we keep doing things the same way. When we are distracted, when we are not peaceful, God's peace means we possess a calm, an assurance, and a focus that only comes from meeting Christ, where He is and knowing that He is here. In the midst of forest fires, in the midst of terrorism, political upheaval, and wars, Christ is on the throne and He is here with us now. Emmanuel, God with us. And He is there in those places when we are afraid to go, with those people who are faceless to us. Will we follow the shepherds leading to the stable, wherever that may be, to find Him and to experience Him? Luke tells us when they saw this, the shepherds saw this, they made known what they had been told them about the child. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. They went to that stable, beloved, found God's presence there in the lowest of places, and found the highest of kings. And they returned to their fields and their flocks, glorifying and praising God. So, beloved, I ask you, what will we do? In closing, beloved, old Scrooge climbs back into his bed, contemplating what his eyes had seen, what they had been open to. And beloved, I ask us today, let us contemplate our willingness to search our heart as we search after a Savior who is willing to be born in the lowest of conditions to bring us love and salvation. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you tell us, Lord, in Scripture, that you allow yourself to leave the heavenly place, to wrap yourself in flesh, to come be born of man's flesh, to be born as an infant child, to be completely vulnerable as a baby, to be raised in human hands, to feel our pains, our sufferings, to know what we walk through, to tell us there was a way, a hope, and a future if we will follow you. For you to pay the ultimate sacrifice of your life upon the cross, you died our death so that we could live in you. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you this season. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You please join us in our